Let's do this. Woo! Ring the bell. This is Between the Ropes.
Oh, you're going for the dirt, for the behind-the-scenes stuff.
It's time to get Between the Ropes. Between the Ropes.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for joining in. It is the live Between the Ropes broadcast. Brian Fritz, along with Justin Kendall from the Between the Ropes website, filling in for Michael Wiseman. Mikey's got a big birthday today, so instead of just having one cold refreshment at night, like he typically does with us here, I think he had a few more than that. But we let Mike have the night off, and we're more than happy to have Justin join in on the broadcast. And we're going to be here talking all about Raw tonight and some other news and notes from around the wrestling world. A couple of reminders to everybody while you're watching us. If you haven't subscribed to us here on YouTube yet, do it right now. Just hit that subscribe button. Also, make sure that you like us, share our videos, and also feel free to take part in the conversation. We do have the chat room open right now, and you can do that. Also, a big thank you to everybody that's supporting us on Patreon. If you haven't done that, and you can do that, if you can help us out on Patreon, help keep us going, just go over to patreon.com/between the ropes. Even a dollar a month goes a long way. If you can contribute more than that, it'd be fantastic. But hey, a dollar a month, that's not much for you, and it's a lot to us, and it helps us out a lot. So let's get into everything that happened on Raw tonight, Justin. So first of all, what were your overall impressions of Raw?
Unfortunately, just another show. I wish that it were more exciting than it was, but it's just got that just another show and killing time until Hell in a Cell feel.
Yeah, I think that's what it is right now. I don't think there's anything necessarily wrong with it. I mean, there was a couple of things where you sit there and go, man, there's some stupid people that are working there, storyline-wise. Because, I mean, what was the ongoing storyline all night? That the people in charge couldn't get to the building. Not only could they not get there on time for the show, but they couldn't get there within the 3 hours that the show lasted. So, and that's pretty ridiculous. And this time we didn't get to see Stephanie McMahon bark at people and be mean and overbearing in person. No, we had to hear her do that on a speakerphone instead. So much better, right?
Man, that was the worst. If that's the best they have at this point, we're all in trouble.
Yeah, probably. So, by the way, we need to point a couple things out. You are rocking the Royals hat. And I'm sporting my Cubs hat because both of our teams playing in the baseball playoffs today, and both came away with monster wins. For your Royals, look like they are DOA and come up with a big inning, and now they force a game five in a best of five series. And for my Cubs, 6 home runs, a postseason record, as they take a 2-1 lead against the Cardinals. It's I'll tell you what, man. I told my wife, I go, they better get some more runs because my blood pressure needs to go down about 40 notches here before I have a heart attack.
This city here was just comatose until the rally. And by the way, we're using the Rally Warrior, the ultimate warrior in all blue. That's our rallying cry.
Are you really?
Yeah. On Facebook and social media. So
that's fantastic. Well, it's funny because I didn't think the Cubs are going to go with rally towels because they were kind of making fun of the Cardinals for that, I thought. And plus, the Blue Jays were doing it too. But the Cubs did pull out the towels with the W's on tonight, and everybody was waving those. People kept I'm very superstitious when it comes to this, and people are like holding up the – because the towels had the W on it, which is up in Chicago when the Cubs win a game, that's when you pull out like a flag that has a W on it. And people were like waving it, like holding it up during the game. And I was like, put that damn thing away until they win. You're going to jinx us, man. So it just drives me nuts. I'm like, there's enough things going on with Cubs, you know, folklore between the damn goat and the black cat and Bartman that we don't need anybody, trying to jump to conclusions and throwing up the W flags before they actually get the final out of a game.
It's just nice to see these long suffering franchises do something.
Hey, I'd be more than happy to see a Cubs-Royals World Series. I'll tell you that right now.
It'd be a blast. So
would be an absolute blast. I like Raw tonight. let's get back to Raw. So, I mean, it wasn't like the worst show that they've had, but at the same time, I mean, there was a couple of things that I did like from a standpoint of the video package that they put together promoting Hell in a Cell, Brock Lesnar, and The Undertaker, and they showed that twice. So they're really starting to show like the importance of that match. It's something I'm kind of surprised they didn't do sooner, but the video package is really good.
That's one thing they do excellent. I mean, they're so good at the video package. But, Brian, there's one thing that really, really bothers me about all of this Brock Lesnar Undertaker hype. How old is that photo of the Undertaker that they're using?
Yeah.
With the long hair? Like, are they so worried that he's just so old that they can't, like, show – current photo of the Undertaker?
It's fantastic, right? They can't go and get like a new photo shot with him. I mean, you know, just get him without the hair, you know? I mean, he's going to look the way he's going to look. I mean, hell, have him wear the hat, have him, you know, wear the whole, you know, costume, but, you know, take a current photo.
It's got to be one of those weird Vince McMahon things where he's like, oh, we can't have, you know, old Undertaker up there, you know, we got to have long hair, you know, and
by the way, a little spoiler alert, everybody knows The Undertaker is old, okay?
He's undead. He's undead, right?
Like, yeah, he's undead. I mean, the dude is old. I mean, he's not walking dead old, but I mean, he's old. I mean, come on. I mean, he beat Brock Lesnar, you know, in the controversial finish the last time they faced each other at SummerSlam. So we all know that The Undertaker is older. I mean, hell, everybody knows that Sting is old as well. So, you know, I'm not saying that you got to throw it out there and tell everybody like, hey, you know, this dude is 50 years old. But at the same time, I mean, you don't have to, you know, hide from it. I mean, he is what he is.
They've been doing this. I remember the SummerSlam promos. They were using the same images. It just bothered me so bad that they just could not get a new photo of The Undertaker.
Yeah. Did you... So let me ask you this, throughout the show, so Kane is in charge because the authority can't be trusted to get there on time as the bosses. So, and he said he was going to face Seth Rollins in the main event. Did you think that match was going to happen or not? Because later on in the show, the authority said, you're not allowed to face him. You can't do it. But then he goes out there and he faces him. The difference was when he was talking to the authority, he was corporate Kane, but he went to the ring. He was Demon Kane. So, you know, he fooled them, you know, like the authority and Seth Rollins all thought like, oh, he's going to fight his corporate Kane, you know, but if he's Demon Kane, he never said that. So, you know, that's okay. Got one over on us.
He's so sneaky. I mean,
he is.
How could they not see that coming?
That's why he's lasted so long in the business.
That's true. One of the things too was, we were running right up against the 10 o'clock hour. So I thought that they were just going to blow this off with some big schmoz, you know, like they eventually did. But
yeah.
But then again, there's nothing I hate more right now than how weak they are making Seth Rollins, beating him. Like, what's his win loss record in comparison to Wade Barrett? Because
okay. I think it's in his last 11 matches that have been televised. I'm not counting house shows, but anything that's been like the Madison Square Garden show on the network, that's been on Raw, SmackDown, and on pay-per-view. I believe in his last 12 matches, he's 1-11.
Wow. Jack Swagger probably wasn't booked that bad as a champion.
I know. Rey Mysterio is remembering when he was champion. He was like, what are they doing to Seth? That's funny. You know, so. Man.
I'm all for the vulnerable champion, but this is a little extreme.
This is very extreme, and it's pretty ridiculous at this point. So, by the way, if anybody hears a little noise in the background, that is your dog playing with his chew toy, isn't it?
Yeah, unfortunately, the American Dream Dusty Rhodes has his chew toy. He figured out that we were on the air and decided now is the perfect time to start playing.
No, that's okay, though. That's perfectly fine. So let's run down Raw. We'll start from the beginning, and we'll go through it pretty quick, and we'll get some other news and notes as well. And we do have the chat room open, so if anybody wants to take part in the conversation, play nice, but feel free to leave questions there as well. So So like we said, they started the show. The authority's not there. Kane's in charge. For whatever reason, the show is just beginning, yet Kane's already sweating. I always find that kind of weird. Corporate Kane is a sweater. But they did. Dean Ambrose came to the ring and basically said, I'm ready for a fight. So Randy Orton came out there and said, guess what? I'm going to be teaming with you at Hell in a Cell. So we've got a new match for that show. It's going to be Randy and Dean against the Wyatt family without Bray Wyatt. So it's going to be him, Luke Harper, and Braun Strowman. So the New Day decided to come down. And then Kane said, guess what? Why don't you guys just all have a match? And by the way, they did make fun of Derrick Rose's knee injury. By the way, Derrick Rose, point guard of your Chicago Bulls. I'm surprised they didn't take a crack at the Cubs. I thought that was going to be low-hanging fruit. But I guess Derrick Rose was, since they were in Chicago. But they went on. They had a match. And guess what? The New Day won again. So they actually, Kofi Kingston actually rolled up Randy Orton. Orton got pushed into Dean Ambrose, and then they rolled up Orton and got the pin. So that means maybe Ambrose and Orton won't be getting along going into their tag team match at Hell in a Cell.
Half hour match too, or half hour build here, like with interviews and everything. That and two commercial breaks. That was quite a bit just for the opener, but whatever.
They got to get through those commercial breaks as much as possible because, you know what? They've got women coming up, and you can't break that up.
If this leads to Ambrose and Orton, though, I think it's going to be – I don't mind that feud. If they get Ambrose over out of that, I mean
– Yeah, and there's been a lot of talk that maybe with John Cena taking some time off coming up here, that maybe Ambrose will be one of the guys that benefits from that.
I hope so, because that guy's got way too much talent to be stuck in the mid-card.
As weird as his promos are on TV, and I know there'll be some questions about whether or not he really is like a main event kind of guy when it comes to his promos, I love it when they send him out there and he's like half asleep doing the morning show, like the local news stations, because he's so crazy when he does those hits. And he's showing up at the local TV show. I mean, he's always telling people, like, you can't miss what's going on. I'm going to break a man's leg with an Indian deathlock. And he's always, you know, telling people that that's going to happen. And the people there are not wrestling fans, and they're, like, totally freaked out.
That was in Kansas City. That interview was in Kansas City. He promised us that he would break Bray Wyatt's leg. And he owes us one broken leg.
He does. He said, did that. He also said he's going to break his arm with a cross-faced chicken wing, I believe. You name it, man. He's done that India deathlock thing a couple of times now. He goes, you want to go out there and you want to see a man get his leg broken in person. Pain and violence. India deathlock.
There was also the story of promising a sick young girl with a puppy that
yes.
he would break Bray Wyatt's leg. So.
That's right. He did. He did. He went puppy on it too, which it was funny because like the hosts were like, oh, that's so cute. Tell me all about it. And it was all a lie. It was just Ambrose doing story time.
That's the Dean Ambrose we should see week in and week out.
Oh, I just absolutely.
Crazy Dean Ambrose.
You should try to interview him in person. The guy pushed me. He pushed me, man. I interviewed him at 2K event. Now, mind you, I was the last interview, and he had been doing 2 hours worth of interviews. And I asked him about the rumors of Sting. And he goes, where did you hear that? I haven't heard that. And I go, he goes, who told you that? And I go, well, it's kind of out there. And he started pushing me and jabbing me. He goes, you go online too much. By the way, that interview is up here on YouTube for anybody who wants to check that out. Just go to the end if you want to see that part with YouTube with Dean Ambrose pushing me around.
He was right in the end.
Yes. So they went to the women's match. They had Nikki Bella taking on Naomi. And so all of their collective teams are out there. So Team Bad is out there and Team Bella is out there. Crowd was chanting for We Want Sasha a lot. And at one point, Brie Bella actually got on the announcer's table, grabbed the mic and started going, We Want Sasha. And she was mocking her. So guess what? Sasha came over and knocked her right off. But that didn't stop Nikki Bella from getting the win. So she beat Naomi in about 5 minutes with the rack attack. So that was... was nothing special, but they have to, and I think now that Sasha's had that match with Bayley, they have to do something with Sasha Banks on the main roster, don't they?
They have to, and they did one thing right and one thing wrong here. The thing they did right was they put on the video of Sasha and Bayley in the match.
Yeah.
Getting her over, getting over the emotion of that. The crowd reacted so well to that. I mean, you and I have both been to probably hundreds of WWE events, hundreds of wrestling events, and not all the time when you go to a Raw and they replay something, do you get a reaction like that from the crowd? So you had a very appreciative crowd. So why is Sasha Banks not in the match?
That's a very good question. And I don't know if they're going to hold her out until, and I don't think she's getting added to the Hell in a Cell match, but to me, she needs to be the number one contender following that pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm. Yep. No question.
They have to do something with her, and it needs to be like, not even like a slow build, just zoom right to the top.
She could be the savior of that division. I mean, it's been, I mean, the Divas Revolution or whatever you want to call it has been a big flop so far because it's lost all the organic feel to it. And I mean, if it's not going to be Sasha, then they need to bring up Bayley and not change her one bit.
Well, it's still to me been perplexing that you see the formula for how it worked in NXT and yet they totally disregard that. And I know that they'll say, well, it's a different audience we're catering to with WWE. It's not NXT. So that's more of a serious hardcore audience than what we have. And I know even Triple H, you know, when he did a conference call last week before TakeOver, he basically said, I believe he referred to NXT, he compared it to grunge, and then he said WWE is more like pop rock. So there's going to be more people that are into pop. That's a wider, you know, audience than somebody that's going to be than an audience for grunge. But if you see something that works and you have a sample size, and I'm not saying you have to copy it, you know, every nth degree, but you see something right there. And I think with today's audience, it's just a, you know, it's a more diverse audience. It's a smarter audience that I think you can take those things that are working in NXT and you can make them work there. And part of that is just taking out a little bit of the sports entertainment part of it, taking out some of the talky part of it. And the worst thing that they could have ever done when it came to this Divas Revolution is say there's a Divas Revolution. That's the worst thing. The second that they did that, it's like they branded it. You know, they ruined it right off the bat. You, I mean, unless they were just going to – I don't know what they could have done at that point because you just knew that, okay, now that they're branding it something, that they're going to toy with it and it's just not going to be the same.
Well, and – Stephanie McMahon inserting herself and playing Oprah Winfrey with you get a faction and you get a faction and you get a faction, you know, hey, Naomi, you get Sasha Banks. I mean, what world were we in then? And you're right. They had the blueprint. There was also another blueprint that was written for them very easily that they could have followed because wrestling is scripted. They could have followed the UFC. They could have followed the Ronda Rousey route. They could have had Charlotte tap out people like crazy, you know, building up somebody as this unbeatable champion. And, you know, we'll get to Charlotte and her loss here, I imagine, very soon.
Oh, but, boy.
I mean, come on. Like, how can you guys be so blind but do something so right in another medium?
Well, you notice that both of the women's, the men's and women's champions got pinned tonight?
Yes.
I mean, that's ridiculous.
Hey, the Intercontinental Champion won, though.
Hey,
so there's that.
Just remember this, though. Wins and losses don't matter. This is sports entertainment. Oh, but you know what? Guess when people get over? Oh, when they win a bunch? When they win a bunch in a row and they become important and people actually take them seriously? Wow.
That is such a crazy concept. I mean,
crazy concept.
You know, how long has wrestling been around? Hundreds of years, you know, people wanting to see, like, how did that guy in WCW, I can't remember his name, the one with the bald head and the sparks, Goldberg, how did he get over?
He won a lot of matches.
How did Ryback get over initially?
You know? He won a bunch of matches.
Yeah, it's amazing what wins will do.
I will always go back to this because I know people say wins and losses don't matter. There is a time when they don't matter as much, okay? And I'm not saying that you have to win every match. But Shawn Michaels once said this. You know what the secret of his career was? He won a lot of matches. You know, guess what? It means something, man. It's crazy that people, you know, don't see the importance of that. When you win a bunch, people like you a lot more. Or guess what? If they already didn't like you and you win a bunch, they hate you even more. So,
you know what I love about Shawn Michaels saying that, though, is that Shawn Michaels basically said, nah, I'm not jobbing tonight.
Exactly. Because he was smart enough to know, like, I'm not going to lose. I mean,
yeah, but I don't know if a guy like Cesaro can be like, yeah, I'm not going to lose tonight.
It's definitely a different age, and you can't get away with it like you once could. Because you know what, though? If you don't speak up, though, you're not reaching for that brass ring.
Maybe that's what Seth Rollins needs to do then.
Yeah, I know. So we had John Cena come out. Chicago crowd was pretty riled up for John Cena sucks. But basically, Cena says, I love Chicago. This place is great. Get me an opponent. So he wanted to put his U.S. Title up for grabs. And Dolph Ziggler came down to the ring. And they actually had themselves a damn good match. And in the end, though, John Cena, still your United States champion, got the victory. They went almost 18 minutes in this match, which did include quite a heelish thing from one Dolph Ziggler as he did an eye poke at one point. But John Cena survived it. Both guys had some near falls. In fact, at one point, it looked like Cena was going to get the AA, but Ziggler turned it around to the Famouser, but couldn't get the pin. But Cena did win the match with the AA. So they had a really good match.
And speaking of Shawn Michaels, Dolph tuned up the band.
He did.
You know, that was something pretty great there. But, you know, did they even mention, like, the whole Nikki Bella thing? Like, are they even going to play into this? Because I know we're headed for a Dolph Ziggler heel turn. We have to. They've got to at this point, but
right. Because I mean, because you're talking about what they did on Total Divas, which I did not watch because I always say I did not watch it. But of course I couldn't miss the teasers that they aired on Raw where basically he was approaching her and said, I still have feelings for you.
Man. If you've got like your ready-made storyline that you're pushing on Total Divas, why aren't you working that with Ziggler? I know we've got so many love triangles already.
No, I know. And we'll get to one coming up here.
Involving Dolph Ziggler, too.
Involving Dolph Ziggler. And that one is cut, dry, and over. So we got more Kane talking to Triple H on a speakerphone as Triple H was fearing for his life going through turbulence on a plane. They did the Dudley Boys against the Ascension. Jobber match, as you would expect. We got two jobber matches on this show, by the way. This was the first of them. And the Dudleys won pretty convincingly. And then we got, how about this match? Neville and Cesaro against Barrett and Sheamus. So this one had a really quick finish. The match went about 4 minutes. But in the end, basically, Neville got hung up in the ropes after he had hit Sheamus. Or Sheamus kicked out of a move. He threw Neville on the kick out. He went into the ropes. Barrett jumped down. Referee not paying attention because he's clueless for whatever reason. Barrett hit him with the bullhammer. And then Sheamus just covered him. And the ref was like, oh, I don't know how he ended up unconscious here on the mat, but guess what? I'm going to count the pin. And so Sheamus and Barrett got the win.
Hey, Barrett wants to be in a tag team, I guess. That's the news coming out today. So, except he wants to be in a tag team with the guy he just bullhammered. So,
right. Yeah, I don't know if they're going to keep that tag team going. Even though it's funny because Barrett and Sheamus, remember, they got signed at the same time. They're old buddies from back in the days of working over in Europe.
Bring back Drew McIntyre, and we've got another faction for us.
I always thought that they should have done that.
I don't know why they didn't. It, it just seemed natural. I guess Drew McIntyre fit more into the 3MB jobber role.
Well, Drew wasn't doing himself any favors there for a little while, but I think those days are long past. So
yeah,
they did. Oh God, here we go. Roman Reigns came down to the ring. And the last few weeks, I've said what they've done with Roman has been so much better getting him back on track, because when they let him talk, it's for just a minute or two. It's very short, and it's, I'm going to kick your ass. And tonight, they gave him the microphone. They said, go out there and explain the entire feud that you've had with you and Bray Wyatt. And don't miss any steps. Go all the way back to the beginning and go step by step, blow by blow, play by play of your long running feud. And guess what? The crowd didn't like it and they booed him, where Roman had to say, no, 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 you need to listen to this, because what I'm telling you, this is important stuff. Oh, poor Roman, man. They are just trying to kill that guy.
What are they thinking? They are in Chicago, Illinois. And what are they thinking? Like that was going to somehow win over the most rabid WWE fan base there is?
I don't know. He's lucky that Bray Wyatt cut him off and came down to the ring, because that thing was just going to drone on and on and on. But, well, actually, Bray stopped at the top of the stage along with Luke, and he whispered into Braun Strowman's ear and said, you go get him, big boy. So it was Braun Strowman against Roman Reigns for the first time in probably 1,000 times that this matchup will happen. But they were just doing some power moves, and Braun was also doing nerve holds and all that stuff. So at one point, Roman got Braun in the ropes and did his outside jump up and kick him in the face, did it, and then he was going to do it again. When he jumped up, Braun clotheslined him right on the apron. It damn near killed Roman. And then they end up fighting out by ringside. Reigns got a running Superman punch, and Strowman went ass over tea kettle, basically over the announcer's table, and Roman ducked back inside, and Braun Strowman lost via countout. So afterwards, the whole Wyatt family, they were going to trap old Roman Reigns and make him pay. But Roman was too smart, because when they all jumped in the ring, he jumped out.
You know who's not doing Braun Strowman any favors?
Who's that?
JBL. Why are we comparing him to Bill Kazmaier? And, you know, this is super, super wrestling nerd from like 1990 or whatever, but he was a failed WCW wrestler who was also a power lifter. And nobody remembers, but probably me.
Did you like the comparison to Jeep Swanson better?
Oh, man.
Jeep Swanson? Dude, that's like, you guys are trying to get over this monster. I'm a firm believer that Braun Strowman's trying, but he is in a really, really tough spot, because he's just not ready to be brought up. But yet, he's trying. And this is how the announcers treat him.
Look how they treat everything, but this is not helping. I mean, one of the brilliant things you can do as a wrestling promoter is to protect your talent and hide their weaknesses. And it's not helping if your announcers are comparing them to awful wrestlers.
Right. So once again, we had the authority on a speakerphone, and they kept cutting in and out. And so Triple H was having a conversation with Kane, trying to figure out who's going to be in the main event. But it kept cutting out at different points, to where Triple H thought Kane was just saying, hey, you've got me, I'm here, I'm here. And then couldn't make out if the phone was cutting out, or while Kane was trying to actually tell him that he was the one that was in the main event facing Seth Rollins. So it's kind of their version of who's on third, kind of, which is, you know, a really old baseball joke. But Kane thought he was like so happy when their line disconnected, thinking he still doesn't know I'm going to be in the main event. They did promote Brock Lesnar is going to be on Stone Cold's podcast next Monday night. Then, oh, what a segment we got here. Rusev against the Ryback. So they announced right at the beginning on the announcers, they said, what the heck is going on here? So TMZ broke the news today that Rusev got engaged to Lana. Showed the pictures that TMZ had. And they were talking about it. Summer Rae obviously does not go online or just didn't give a crap because she was out there in Rusev's corner for this match. Ryback beat him clean. And then afterwards, Summer Rae had some talking to do to her man and said, oh, you know what? We got engaged last week. And now I found out that you've got engaged to Lana and you did it 2 months ago. And they showed the pictures from TMZ up on the Titantron. And Rusev just stood there and kind of shook his head at her. And then she slapped him.
I like that she waited. I mean, presumably if they're engaged or not engaged, that I'm guessing they travel together, in storyline. So
she went all day with it just so she could get the last word and slap him.
Yeah, on national TV. So right. That's how couples work it out. So.
Oh, and by the way, so it looks like this angle is over. Like Dolph Ziggler did something for Facebook, a Facebook video earlier today that they put out, and they're like, hey, so what do you make of this whole thing? You know, and he was like, well, you know, good for them. You know, it's been a lot of fun, you know, and, you know, had a good time with Lana. And so how about Raw tonight? We're going to be in Chicago. Should be a fun show.
Sad Dolph is sad.
I mean, the whole storyline's over. They just killed it. There's like, all right, so TMZ exposed it. So we're going to throw our hands up in the air and kill it ourselves.
So they normally plant those stories, right? They usually feed them to TMZ.
Absolutely. So
what are they doing?
Maybe they just said, hell with it. You know what? The story is just, I mean, they should have never broke up Rusev and Lana. And
no.
The funny thing is, if you go back to last year, okay, even the build up to WrestleMania with Cena, they had something there with Rusev. They had one of their homegrown guys that they built up, and they actually made him into a star. And
How did they do that, Brian?
He won a bunch of matches in a row.
You're kidding.
No.
You don't just beat him week in and week out and expect people to get behind him?
And on top of that, guess what? They had somebody that was a great talking piece for him. And got heat. But they decided to change their minds because guess what? Oh, Lana's hot. People want to see Lana. So rather than just having her cut heel promos alongside Rusev or doing something like Rusev could say, Lana's not coming out this week because you guys want to see her. So guess what? You're not going to see her. Too freaking bad. And do something to get heat. No. Oh, Lana, she's going to be a huge star. So let's break them up. Oh, and what's happened since then? She broke her wrist or she got injured, and we haven't pushed Rusev and made him look like a dunce. So, to the whole thing.
Yeah, he's lost to what? Cesaro, Ryback, Cena, anybody else in there? Probably Reigns. Like,
I think I got a win over him in there somewhere, and I'm not even a wrestler.
He's just another guy. Just, how sad is that?
God, that makes me so sad. This guy looked like the most virile man on the planet when he rode a tank out for his entrance at WrestleMania. Okay.
He turned babyface right then, right?
Even Putin, shirtless on a horse, didn't look like half the man that freaking Rusev was on this night. Okay. Hot damn, man. That was such a great moment. And then they've just killed him since then, man. I mean, that's why he lost to Cena at that show, but my God, they've just killed him since then.
Yeah, you do cool things with guys and they get over and then, you know, you just kill them afterward.
By the way, I missed an important note from the show. When John Cena and Dolph Ziggler were facing each other, the crowd very early on the match was going nuts, especially in one corner of the crowd on the bottom level. And people were doing the yes chants and everything. And suddenly this guy had a sign he was holding up and said, "She said yes." And that's because this guy, right at the beginning of the John Cena-Dolph Ziggler match, the United States Open Challenge, proposed to his girlfriend, and she said yes. So they got engaged. Cena realized this, being the smart man he is, got Ziggler out of the ring, grabbed the mic, and said, hey, anything can happen here. Guess what? They just got engaged. To the point where, and everybody was so happy, they put like the spotlight on the couple and everything, that a couple of minutes later, Cena once again had to stop the match and wave to the guy. And the guy, like, you know, give the chest pump and then signal to Cena, you know, for acknowledging him.
Oh my God. John Cena is a great showman, though.
Dude, that was like the highlight of the night almost, man, right there.
Break that fourth wall. Anything on Deadspin, too.
Oh, absolutely. So, let's see. We got our second squash match of the night. It was kind of a squash match. For the most part, it was. Kevin Owens beating Kalisto. And then...
still looking for that Mexican superstar, aren't they?
Well, you know, the word on the street is they'd love to bring back Alberto Del Rio.
I wonder if he'd love to come back.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, I know PW Insider had the story over the weekend saying that they really would like him to come back. But the thing is, does he want to come back to that schedule, even if it's for the same amount of money? Because he's making good money right now. He's doing commentary for an MMA group. He gets to work his own schedule, so he's not going to work as many matches. You know, he might be on the next season of Lucha Underground. He's been working in Mexico, so he gets to pick his spots. So does he want to leave that and go back on the road with WWE? I don't know. Who knows? Maybe he'll just work some shows. I mean, they're going to be in Mexico coming up here. Maybe he'll work those shows and just do that one loop, or maybe he will go back. I don't know.
I'm guessing he doesn't have one of the Lucha Underground 7-year contracts or whatever those were.
Yeah, so. He doesn't have one of those. I don't think he's even officially signed a contract with them yet, but yeah, that's been the, you know, the rumor is that, you know, well, obviously they want him. They want him and Rey Mysterio to be their top stars, but well, it's just a matter of getting them signed.
And AAA probably isn't going to be too going to let him go very easily, because they just lost the former Sin Cara, the original Mystico,
right,
to CMLL. So
it's crazy stuff going on down in the Mexico right now. And that screws up Triple Mania for next year, apparently, because it was going to be Rey Mysterio against Mysticis.
Wow. We'll see how long Rey sticks around there, too.
Yeah, exactly. You know, hell, I mean, I'm WWE, I think, would love to have Rey back.
I mean, that's such a weird situation, though. If only they would have hired Ricochet. I mean, I know he's not.
Oh, Ricochet. I mean, there's a couple guys that are out there that I'm, you know, if they don't want to go to WWE, I can understand that. But I mean, if I'm WWE, I put a hard press on a few guys, and he's one of them. Because I want him. I want Adam Cole. And if I really had to look hard at a third guy for WWE to get in NXT, especially now while he's young, Zack Sabre Jr.
Yeah. All of those guys would be on my list.
Unbelievable.
There's no way. I mean, Kazuchika Okada has already said he's not interested in going, but if you were going to try and make a Japanese superstar, the Rainmaker is the man, other than my favorite of all time, Shinsuke Nakamura.
The only difference is that Okada is obviously younger.
Yes, exactly. Shinsuke, I should say.
Shinsuke, and but Nakamura doing his entrance alone, and then gets the guy in the corner and does, you know, his little boots to the face thing, that would get him over so much. And to me, if you put him with, say, Heyman, you got a really strong mouthpiece for him, mm-hmm. He'd be unbelievable.
I believe he knows English. I think I've heard Jim Ross say that he knows English. I don't know how well.
But I definitely want a mouthpiece for him, and it wouldn't be that hard to do, I wouldn't think.
That guy is a sports entertainer. I mean, that guy is sports entertainment to me. So he would fit. I mean, and you also, I mean, if you're looking at another miss, WWE should have made a run at AJ Styles.
Well, you know, Triple H in the conference call he did last week said that he has spoken more with New Japan Pro Wrestling. So I know that they've got an agreement with Ring of Honor, but I don't know how ironclad that agreement is or what they can and cannot do. Mm-hmm. Could you just imagine them doing, you know, an NXT special and you had some of the stars from New Japan Pro Wrestling on there?
Baylor Club against the Bullet Club.
You could do that. You could also do AJ Styles against Samoa Joe.
Man, the possibilities there are endless. I mean, yeah, I don't know what that would do to a Ring of Honor relationship with New
but
Japan.
Can you imagine? Okay, let me just, I know we're kind of off the trail overall. Okay, so imagine this one though, okay? So what if on the Friday before WrestleMania, Ring of Honor had a show and some of the stars from New Japan Pro Wrestling were on there? But what if some of those stars also were on NXT that night? Because NXT is going to do a show that night.
Yeah. Talk about a dream night.
Oh, people would be just running through the streets of Dallas. Oh, I got to get to that show. And Ring of Honor is probably like 20 miles away from where TakeOver is going to be taking place or something.
Exactly.
So that's the problem, is the logistics. I don't know where Ring of Honor is going to be running. I mean, I know WWE has always tried to, like, you know, keep guys out of the area, you know, and put them on the periphery, you know, when it comes to WrestleMania. But I know that Wrestle Reunion, they're going to be right there in the heart of Dallas for their shows and for their events. So, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if we saw a New Japan presence on NXT coming forward, especially with a show like that.
So hopefully it's more than Liger. So
yeah, exactly. So back to Raw. Let's get to burying our Divas champion. So Charlotte and Becky Lynch took on Brie Bella and Alicia Fox. Brie Bella pinned Charlotte with a missile drop kick. It couldn't even be Nikki Bella that pinned Charlotte. It had to be Brie Bella. What happened? And so they had this whole thing where Paige was on commentary and talking about, oh, you know, Natty should stay in the back where she belongs. And Natalya was out there. Paige shoved her, she got kicked by Brie. And then whatever happened, Charlotte got hit with a missile drop kick and Brie pinned her. Unbelievable. I mean, they showed that video package of the meaning of Bayley being the champion from, you know, when she won it in NXT Brooklyn, and then she just defended in this Iron Man match last week. They're showing the importance of this in a video package earlier. And then they have their Divas champion in Charlotte get pinned for no freaking reason.
It's a good thing that they don't have Ronda Rousey to book.
Oh my God. Well, they could have, what a love triangle they could have with her now that her and Travis Brown have come out and said they're not dating. They're in a relationship.
Ooh. Nice.
Yeah, exactly.
Terrible. Just terrible decisions. I guess we can't.
It's not a good match either.
We can't blame Triple H and Stephanie, to be fair. They weren't there.
I mean, Triple H is only in charge of creative.
He wasn't there, Brian. He couldn't get to the show.
That freaking Kane. And I was trying to speak highly of corporate Kane last week. I can't anymore. So, by the way, yes, Triple H is in charge of creative. And as I've always said, though, that doesn't matter. If there's something you like or there's something you don't like on the show, that's Vince McMahon. He is the end all be all, approve it or deny it. So they did Kane. This is the part where Kane was backstage, got on the phone with the authority, told them that he was going to be working in the match, and both Hunter and Stephanie were mad at him, and Hunter said, I don't care who you choose to replace you, somebody's going to replace you. So Kane got off the phone with him, smiled, because he knew just what he was going to do. Seth Rollins was talking to Big Show backstage, and he was trying to suck up the Big Show because of a lumberjack match. And Show just laughed at him. Kane, corporate Kane, approached Rollins and said, hey, you know what? I've got just the opponent for you now that it can't be me. So they got ready for the lumberjack match, and they come back, and there's Rollins in the ring, and the fire blows off, and here comes the Demon Kane. And Michael Cole had to explain that he got one over on everybody. So they did this match, even though it is the main event of Hell in a Cell, less than 2 weeks away. In the middle of the match, Kane started, he beat up the New Day ringside, He got into it with Big Show. Big Show hit him with a knockout punch, and he dropped Kane. New Day threw him back in the ring, but it still wasn't enough to get the pin. And they kept going and going. And in the end, Tombstone Piledriver, Seth Rollins, your champion, pinned and defeated once again.
Brian, 5 years from now, are we going to be sitting here talking about Raw and how Kane was in the main event program with the champion and pinned whoever the champion was? Are we going to be doing that in 5 years?
God, I hope not. See, here's the thing. Here's how they'll explain this. Well, we want to make it feel like Kane could defeat Seth Rollins and be the next WWE World Heavyweight Champion, because so many people want to see that, you know.
Who are those people?
The people that are in the office of Vince McMahon when he said it's a great idea, and are afraid to say no. Or people that watched the product 20 years ago and are watching again now a couple of times, and they go, man, I sure like that guy Kane. It's a very small sample size.
Okay, good.
I mean, Kane is a nice guy. He's a great guy. He does the best that he can, but he should not be featured on TV this much, and he definitely should not be a main event player. And he is, because they can't think of any other ideas with all this young talent that they've got, and they can't figure out the idea of, hey, let's book guys strong. Let's get rid of even Steven booking. Let's actually work with these guys. Let's have promos that get them over. Let's make sure they have good matches, and let's do more when it comes to Kevin Owens and Dean Ambrose and Roman Reigns and Cesaro and all these guys that we've got. They can't do that, so we'll put Kane back in there.
So why can't we just, I mean, since wrestling is, you know, predetermined, yep, why can't we have, you know, five guys that we think are going to be the baby faces, the young baby faces that we want to get over, and five heels or whatever. It doesn't even have to be five, just arbitrary numbers. Why can't we just, you know, build those people up so we have a future? Why do we have to keep going back to the Kane well? You know, why do we have to go to the Big Show well? I don't understand this. I don't understand the thinking here. It drives me nuts. And
it drives a lot of people nuts. I don't understand it. I don't know if it's a panic thing because of ratings, or, I mean, I understand they were involved in the storyline before, so it makes sense to have some closure. And also, they're not going to be the final match on this pay-per-view. The world title match is not going to be the final match, because you do have Lesnar against Taker. But still, wouldn't this be a great opportunity to have somebody else get put into that world title picture, because it's not going to be the final match? And the show's going to be sold basically off of the interest of Lesnar Taker.
I get that thinking, I guess, but it's still just, you know, like, this is a throwaway match, because the match you all want to see is Undertaker and Brock Lesnar. But why it's just bad booking. But that's all it is. It's lazy, bad booking.
I agree. And I think they've got a lot of talent. Talent is not the problem. There's just some lazy booking that's going on there.
And it's not allowing that talent, not helping that talent get over. I mean, the job of the booker is to get over the young talent. And you don't get them over by beating them. Like, you know, let's say somebody who gets over organically, who has a great personality, would be a great representative for the company, can wrestle like no one's business, you know, somebody that's probably the strongest guy on the roster. You know, you would think that would be a guy that, you know, bodybuilder Vince McMahon would like, but he must have something against Swiss Superman.
I guess so. It's crazy, but it was just another edition of Raw. It was something that if you missed it, you missed it. I mean, you got to see both champions get pinned in nine title matches, but maybe it was a better idea if you did miss it, if you wanted the champions to be strong. So quick reminder for everybody that if you are supporting us on Patreon, we deeply appreciate it. If you're not, go check it out. Go to patreon.com/betweentheropes. basically, Patreon is a place where if you like something and you want to continue to support it, especially when it comes to artists and podcasters, and support the product that you like, where you can support it monetarily. And if you can do that for us and help us keep the lights on and help us keep doing what we're doing, it'll be greatly appreciated. If you want to do $5 a month, $10 a month, you can, or even $1 a month. We've got some people that are doing $1 a month, and it's greatly appreciated. Even this past week, I know John Hollum started doing it, started pledging, and he pledged for $1 a month, and I greatly appreciate it, John. And for everybody that's already pledging to us, we really, really appreciate it. And for all of you out there that are watching, if you could do the same, that would really help us out. Like I said, even for $1 a month, help us keep doing what we're doing. If you value what we do, you like what we do, support the things that you like. Also other podcasts, also other artists and videos and things like that. If you like what people do and there's a way to support them, please do that. Even for as little as $1 a month. That means we do at least 5 of these per month, because we do After Raw every week, and we also do After a Pay-Per-View. So basically it's 20 cents a show. That's all it is. It's 20 cents a show. So if you could do that, that'd be great. And also the other ways you can support us, subscribe to us on our YouTube channel here. And also subscribe to us on iTunes and Stitcher, especially on iTunes. And when you do that, please rate us and review us. That helps us out a lot. It helps us get more noticed and gets more eyeballs on the product and more people listening. And it helps us out tremendously. So we'll get to some questions here in just a minute. A couple other news and notes. So Jonathan Coachman, formerly of WWE, now working for ESPN, had thrown out a tweet earlier today, and he had said, "You have been asking for years, and we are about to take another step. So excited, 48 hours, hashtag WWE. And if you remember, Jonathan Coachman and ESPN covered SummerSlam. They're there outside the Barclays, and they did a lot of coverage for WrestleMania this past year. So we've seen a growing presence between the two companies, and WWE covering ESPN. And I know that even Coachman had said, hey, you know what? He goes, remember, we want to serve fans anytime, anywhere. Athletes or WWE fans, superstars or sports fans come together. And it was announced during the show that Tuesday night at the 9 o'clock Sports Center, Coachman will be joined by WWE champion Seth Rollins live on Sports Center. So it's interesting that, you know, I'm not exactly sure how big the synergy or, you know, the kind of the crossover is going to be between the two. But obviously ESPN is going to keep doing some more stuff with WWE.
It's a really interesting development. I mean, at a time where ratings are declining and wrestling isn't the hottest thing that it's been, you've got the biggest, you know, the worldwide leader is interested in WWE. So,
you know what the interesting thing though is, I know that our friend David Shoemaker from Grantland, and we've talked about this before too. It was just within like the last month or so that he wrote a column, and he was talking about how WWE is, you know, on the verge of another boom period. And basically he was talking about word of mouth has been big for the product. And, you know, just more and more people are talking about it. You're seeing more mainstream websites covering it between, you know, like me for sporting news and Fox Sports, and you see Rolling Stone and obviously David with Grantland, and there's so many other sites. I think even The Atlantic did a column on wrestling not too long ago. So based off of that, he said, you know, WWE is in for a boom period coming up here. There's just more people talking about it. But I disagree, because I think that they, you know, ESPN has been big on covering them for WrestleMania because it's a big event. Same for SummerSlam. It was a big event. But when it comes to the week-to-week, even pay-per-view to pay-per-view stuff, we're not seeing that. And you look at the ratings for Raw, they've been record lows for the past 3 weeks now, I believe. And to me, that tells you where your audience is and how popular you are. Yes, WWE has a monster presence on social media and does get a buzz. But that buzz doesn't mean that much. And you can't say it's in for a boom period if that buzz isn't turning into people actually watching the product on a regular basis.
Well, and this is the dead horse that I keep beating, is the barrier to entry to be a fan is it's more of a commitment than it's ever been. You have 3 hours of programming every Monday. You have 2 hours of programming every Thursday. You've got an hour of NXT on Wednesday if you're going to get into that. You've got Total Divas. You've got all these different shows that, you know, I can't even keep up with all of it. But 3 hours of Raw every Monday is a lot to ask of a new fan.
Absolutely is. Because they're not even making SmackDown important right now. Can you imagine if they were?
And they're going to. They're going to have to. Because Absolutely. Once it moves to the USA Network, they're going to have to do something to make SmackDown special.
And that's not even counting watching. Now, I understand you don't have to watch this to keep up with current storylines, but that doesn't even count any kind of commitment you might have to watching the WWE Network. And there's actually been some really good programming on that they've done on there. They've done these 24 specials, you know, even the one that they did with NXT TakeOver in Brooklyn that they did, the Table of Three series, which each one of those is only like 20 minutes, but they've been really, really good.
Yeah, I binge watched the Table for Three this past weekend, and I highly recommend, you know, all of those so far.
Are you ever going to look at Ryback the same, considering the prank that Daniel Bryan was perpetrating on that poor man?
Well, I mean, at least he has a shot at a Cialis sponsorship.
Yes. For anybody, yeah, everybody watch that, because come to find out, Daniel Bryan might be the biggest prankster in the WWE.
And let's just say Ryback was really excited to meet Brock Lesnar.
Yes, he was. He wanted to impress Brock Lesnar. How about this? So we talk about different things that are coming up. So there's been a lot of talk about a crossover between WWE and Evolve, of all places, that there's been some conversations about WWE buying Evolve or even using them as a feeder ground more. Triple H was complimentary of Evolve and Gabe Sapolsky on the recent conference call he did. And guess what? This weekend, Evolve's having two shows, and Sami Zayn is going to be at both of them.
Such an interesting development, too.
Now, for what we understand, Sami is still not cleared to wrestle. But he's going to be there. But I don't think he's wrestling. But it is interesting that Sami Zayn's going to be at those shows.
Do you think that there's also a chance that a certain masked wrestler will return from Mexico and where he's been helping the orphans, El Generico?
That's a very good question. You know what? No, because they like to keep – Sami especially likes to keep Sami Zayn and El Generico totally separate because – I interviewed him and I started bringing up El Generico and he was just like, oh, I don't know why people say that. That's not me. He did that on Jericho's podcast. So he likes to keep them separate. So I don't know if that's going to happen.
Yeah. Well, but I'll be curious to see what he actually does at Evolve.
I
don't anticipate it any wrestling, but
it just does go to show that there is a building relationship between the two, though.
It'll be great, though, because this is something that, you know, some of that young talent needs in NXT is to work in front of different crowds, to work different styles. I mean, there's only going to be one style if they ever make it to the main roster. But, I mean, that is invaluable learning experience that – you know, is lost in today's wrestling world that you used to get in the territories, that you used to see guys like Jericho and Malenko and Guerrero, you know, who would go to Mexico and work, go to Japan and work, you know, go to WCW, ECW, you know, the indies.
Do you think when Seth Rollins appears on ESPN, he will be a guest host of SportsCenter? Because we saw Ronda Rousey kind of do that. Even Dr. Ken, who is on Hangover, and he's been on Community, and now he's got his own show on ABC. I'm curious to see what kind of role they're going to have for Seth.
I'll be curious to see, too. So, I don't know. Is that the new – did they steal that from WWE, the guest host?
Maybe.
Yeah.
If Bob Barker shows up, then yes. They haven't gotten Dennis Miller yet, though. Let's go through some questions. We have the chat room open right now.
Oh. One more thing. Another big news development that we can't forget is the NXT tapings and who showed up.
Would you like to share for everybody?
The Cowboy, James Storm.
James Storm is in NXT. Now, there's still some talk about whether or not he has officially signed a contract, which I'm not 100% certain he has or hasn't. But isn't it weird for all this talk about, oh, they don't want TNA talent? And, you know, they can say that, but they do. There's certain TNA talent they're definitely interested in, at least Triple H is. And I'm not saying it's for the main brand, because I think he has a deal, or I think he'll be like Samoa Joe, where I doubt he'll show up on the main roster, but to use him as a presence in NXT to work with some other guys, get them more experience, and to help get more eyeballs on that brand, I think that's a great signing.
The door is open. I mean, for years they said that, you know, they weren't interested, and it's clear now the door is open. Guys that wouldn't have gotten a shot, you know, in the past are getting it, and they're coming in as, you know, who they've been, the names that they've established. It's going to be really interesting to see what happens, especially with the, let's say, shaky future of TNA wrestling. And
you ain't kidding. I wish he could get Bobby Roode in there and we could reform Beer Money.
How great would that be?
Could you imagine Beer Money in NXT?
Oh, that's the dream, right?
If he's allowed to, you know, come out with all the beer and everything. The beer belt buckle?
Yeah. And I don't know. It's a niche product, like Triple H said. So maybe the rules are different.
With Bobby Roode pulling out James Storm on a little red wagon while he drinks beer.
Well, and didn't he have like the motorized beer cooler?
Oh, absolutely, man. That's great stuff.
Yeah.
You know, that stuff's just sitting around collecting dust right now. You might as well use it.
Yeah, unless it's at Dixie Carter's house.
They could get in there and get that relief. Come on. I'll help them go on that run, you know, to get that stuff. If that's what it takes,
I don't want to say that it'll all be up at auction eventually, but.
What do you want to give me? I got a 10, got a 10, got a 10. Yeah. Wait, that's too much. 5. Oh, man, that was cold.
I know.
What is this, like the WCW video library for sale here? We're just giving it away?
Hey, they're going to India, man. Everything's okay.
Yeah.
How crazy would that be, too? You saw the rumors that they were supposedly making a pitch to James Storm after he showed up at NXT. How crazy would that be of him to be like, yeah, I'm going to go back to TNA now.
Hey, go where the money is, man. They want to give you more money. You know, I can't blame the guy. I mean, I'm hoping, you know. I like to see him in NXT just to see how that develops. But
long term, though, you got to think long term. And, you know, if I'm wanting to extend my career and make sure that I'm cashing checks, I think I'm going to go with the WWE and on that one.
Well, that's James Storm right there. Cashing checks and snapping necks. Let's get some questions. We've got some right here in the chat room, including from Nick Doucette, who asked, does Lex Luger deserve to get into the Hall of Fame? He's saying, and if he does, would he go in as the narcissist? No, he would not go in as the narcissist, okay, which is a horrible gimmick.
He's in the WBF Hall of Fame, right?
Yeah, I think he is, yeah. So I don't think Lex gets to go in the Hall of Fame. I mean, I guess I could see it, but I wouldn't be surprised if they did it, but I just don't see it right now.
That's another, you know, the barrier to entry there, it's pretty low. Coco Beware is in, right?
Yeah, but I mean, there is a history there with Elizabeth that I don't know. I'm not saying it would necessarily get acknowledged, but a lot of people know about it.
Yeah, but he has been on WWE DVDs. They did put out an action figure of him. There are licensing opportunities there, and, you know. It's anything's possible,
right?
I wouldn't rule it out. I wouldn't think that he'd be at the top of the list either.
Matt says, after Hell in a Cell, what should WWE do in an attempt to fix their low ratings? I don't know. Have booked their champions strong and make them meaningful, and actually push some other guys and give them opportunities and make them look strong without making them look like pansies?
Yeah, I mean, it is as simple as pushing guys and not beating them all the time. And, you know, if you don't want to beat a guy, you don't have him work a program with another guy you don't want to not
right.
get.
I'd say simpler storylines, cut down your promos. Instead of doing a 10-minute promo, do a 5-minute promo. Have more guys actually probably cut promos, but keep them short, keep them, you know, 2-3 minutes. Have, you know, matches don't need to go necessarily, all of them don't have to go 15 or 20 minutes, but have good solid matches that go 8 to 12 minutes throughout the night. If you give people a little bit more wrestling, that's good. Without the hokey finishes so much, and you mix in, I think, all those promos and have really good video packages and promote what's ahead as soon as you can. Like tonight, they promoted next week's Raw. Next week's Raw is supposed to be a loaded Raw. It's the final show before Hell in a Cell. Lesnar's going to be there. Taker's going to be there. Ric Flair's going to be there. Shawn Michaels is going to be there. They promoted that once, and they did that at about 11 o'clock Eastern on Raw. Why weren't they doing that throughout the entire night?
Hey, there were too many other things they had to do, like that man on the street interview segment.
Yeah. And here's the other thing, too. When it comes to these pay-per-views, once or twice per show, they need to go back to doing the whole, you know, let's run down what's coming up on the pay-per-view, what's been signed so far. And, you know, you show, you know, the still, you know, photos, you show the graphics, and you run it down. And you say, this is coming up in 3 weeks from now. Then the following week, that match got added. Here's how that show adds up right now. Here's the card. And you do that a couple times per show, and you make it meaningful, and you just tell everybody, match by match, what is going on the upcoming pay-per-view.
What they need is vision, and they need long-term story planning. And we are not seeing that. That's why we're seeing – I don't believe that Undertaker versus Brock Lesnar was always the plan for Hell in a Cell.
I don't either. I think it got changed.
Yeah.
For whatever reason.
We need – this is where – we're not quite there yet. November is when the real push toward WrestleMania sort of starts, right? Because we start building toward the Royal Rumble, and we start building from there. But, man, like I said, pick your guys. Don't beat them, you know. Keep them separated and just work it, you know?
Let's see. Sean Carter, rating prediction. Monday Night Football, popular Steelers team, a game that went down to the wire. Three largest markets and Mets, Dodgers, and Cubs all playing at the same time. And the Cubs game was competitive, at least. The Mets-Dodgers game was a blowout. And then also other big news from college sports, Steve Sarkisian getting fired. Steve Spurrier actually retired. Legendary coach, he retired tonight. So any prediction for what the Raw rating might be?
2-4.
Yeah, I'm going to see 2-3.
Yeah, it's there's nothing here that was overly appealing. There's nothing that, you know, captured us. I still hope that they have some type of ace storyline up their sleeves, you know, like Nexus or something like that. That we just haven't seen yet, because there's nothing feels fresh.
Right. And as big of a fan as I am of the guy, Tyler Breeze working the house shows this past weekend and maybe getting called up is not going to do it.
No.
Unfortunately, my guy, Prince Pretty.
Adam Rose is getting repackaged too, or the Bunny's coming back. So
there's a team right there, Adam Rose and Tyler Breeze.
He almost got teamed with Brad Maddox. So,
Let's see. What other questions? Why do you guys think WWE keeps putting Kane in the main event? It's 2015, and Kane is still relevant. We went over that. I think that's one of those default things for Vince McMahon. He just feels comfortable with the guy.
Relevance is a strong word.
Yeah. Do you think Dolph Ziggler is going to turn heel again? Yeah, I do. Because I think they're going to do that program with Cena and Ziggler, right?
Maybe that's it, your transition. That's maybe that's who beats him for the title, and he hopefully cheats to do it.
So we had a little technical difficulty at the end of the video, but we were going to wrap up anyway, so let me do that right here. Thanks again for everybody for joining us. Don't forget, subscribe to us on our YouTube channel, and you can also subscribe to us on iTunes. Please rate us and review us there as well. You can find us online at BetweenTheRopes.com. On Twitter, it's at BetweenTheRopes. And also on Facebook, it's Facebook.com/BetweenTheRopes. For Justin Kendall, I'm Brian Fritz. Thanks again for joining us, and we'll talk to you next time right here, Between the Ropes.
The talking is over.
Thanks for downloading Between the Ropes.
Man, you guys are awesome. Thank you.
For more, go to BetweenTheRopes.com and subscribe to Between the Ropes on iTunes.
Thank you.
Have a nice day.